What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the verified one, a.k.a. at Tim Geddes, a.k.a. the Baby Blues. I forgot the rest of it.
A.k.a.
It's Tim Geddes, everybody! I like the a.k.a. thing.
We gotta work on it.
I like it. I do, too. Yeah, we will. Right now...
Can you imagine one day us performing in front of an amphitheater of thousands of everyone screaming, a.k.a., I'm into it.
I like that. I can see that happening. Yeah, that definitely sounds like in our stupid sitcom life. Yeah, that definitely sounds like something that could happen.
And one day it'll happen.
Sure, that'll happen. Right now, everyone in the office is sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick. You're sick. Nick's sick.
Everyone's sick.
Andy was sick yesterday. He was talking about it. Kevin's feeling it today, even though he's like, maybe it's just allergies. Kevin, just admit you're getting sick.
Oh, no, I was just doing that for Eric's like sake.
Oh, because you don't want to get in Eric Castor's head?
Yeah.
Jigs up. He knows everybody's sick.
It's I know.
Is Joey sick yet?
No, I think she might have already been sick.
Cool Greg, I've never seen sick in my life. I don't think he can get sick. I think it's sick. Like Unbreakable.
Mm.
I think it's like Unbreakable where he can't get sick.
I get it.
Tim?
Yes.
If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and everybody listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. The Kind of Funny Game Showcase was Saturday. It was awesome. We loved it. We're super proud of it. And we'd love it if you went and watched it at kindoffunny.com/showcase. We put a lot of work into it. I'm sure trailers have been seen all over the place. People have been putting out press releases. Head over, though, to kindoffunny.com/showcase. Watch the funny lower thirds. Watch the tear-jerking intro. See all the different places we went to film, including Kevin's nap
couch. Is Nick Scarpino in it? I don't know. You're going to have to watch it to find out.
And it's a great GIF. If you've seen the GIF.
If you find his really hidden cameo, tweet at me. Let me know you found it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you know, but tweet an image of it, because you can't. They could just say they saw it. They found it. Now they need to tweet
proof.
The image. Yeah. Exactly. Time for the holiday schedule as well. If you didn't know, we're here next week, and then we're off starting December 24th, Christmas Eve, and we come back Friday, January 4th, for the Kinda Funny Day stream that you aren't ready for.
And speaking of that, Greg, we need your help. You beautiful, beautiful community. Musicians in the community specifically. Go to kindoffunny.com/music. You can download the MIDI file that we use for all of our Kind of Funny show theme songs. Exactly. And you can make your own version of those that we might use in the future. Because who knows what's coming in 2019.
Teen. I really don't know what you're going to use them for.
There's a whole bunch of cool stuff. I know right now.
Okay, good. Well, you tell me eventually?
Maybe. I don't know. In 2019, January 4th. You have to wait.
That sounds good. Today, we're sponsored by 23andMe, Loot Crate, and MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Oh, you sound terrible, Cavalry. Okay? It's time for some news.
I had to cough before.
You're going down. You're going down like that Titanic. It's just so quick over there.
Paula had it bad? Yeah.
She was sick, too.
Does.
Oh, yeah.
God, it's just everywhere. You can't get away from it. You know what I mean?
I think Gia got her sick.
Gia was the first.
Yeah.
Patient
she was
zero.
Victim number one.
She was the outbreak monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Outbreak?
Yeah, great movie.
Dustin Hoffman.
Great movie.
Resident Evil Outbreak. Operation.
Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We're falling apart.
We are barreling into the holiday.
We are falling apart. Number one, and I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a slow news day, but we're happy you're here to hang out with us. Number one, Reggie from Nintendo is talking about those Switch projections we've been talking about forever. This is via Matt Perez over at Forbes.
Matt Perez, friend of the show. Matt Perez, the one that first reached out to me about my Forbes 30 under 30.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good man.
Good man, Matt Forbes. Forecasting is an imperfect science, and the Switch is doing well regardless of hitting the prediction. The company saw a 115% jump in console sales over Thanksgiving weekend, helping put a dent in the goal. Still, investors aren't exactly fans of companies missing forecasts. Reggie remains optimistic it can reach its goal by March. Tim?
Yes.
I cut off an intro paragraph here, obviously.
It's okay if you jump to the next paragraph.
No, I was going to say, I know the information. I was just going to give it out.
Yes.
That basically, if you remember, what happened is Nintendo projected to hit 20 million Switches sold by
March.
End of fiscal year, right?
Yes, end of fiscal year, which is would be March 2019.
And so that we had come up last week, 2 weeks ago, news stories had started popping up of like, they're short of it. It doesn't look like they're going to hit it.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like when you really start looking at it and like looking at the landscape, before Pokemon hit, we were looking at about 14 million Switches in the wild. Mm-hmm. So to get that huge jump, it wasn't looking good.
Yeah.
Really not looking good.
And that was the thing where then there were, you remember this was a great Games Daily, I thought, where we went through a whole bunch of these stories that were all related, where it was, okay, they're under projection. But Reggie and Nintendo were saying the bulk of our sales come during the holiday season. We're not concerned yet. This isn't a thing. Then Matt has this quote from Reggie. We're feeling confident in our momentum, and it's not just a stellar launch of Pokemon. It's not just what appears to be a stellar launch of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. That Black Friday through Cyber Monday timeframe was critically important to us. The remaining shopping days now through Christmas are critically important to us. More days right after Christmas, as consumers receive gift cards or take unwanted gifts and monetize into things like Nintendo Switch are important to us.
What a fucking badass.
Reggie's sitting there like a computer. Just like, you know what I mean? Then, I'm going to tell you the brass tacks.
People take the shit they don't want and they turn it into Nintendo.
Thanks for this PSP game, Mom. I'm going to return it. So this is going to be an ongoing effort to make sure that we drive our business forward through the balance of this holiday season, but also the first calendar quarter as well. Wedbush analyst Michael Pachter, friend of the show, thinks Nintendo will fall just short of the 20 million goal, shipping 16 to 17 million units for the year, with a major lift from the release of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Falling 15 to 20% short of the goal is hardly the end of the world, though. Quote, the share price tells you that the market doesn't expect them to hit 20 million, Pachter says. However, if they sell 15 million per year, they're in good shape and they should see a disruption. Shouldn't see a disruption in their momentum.
So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on here. Pachter is one of those guys. He's one of those, the video game analyst guys. And I feel like he gets a lot of shit because he's gotten things wrong. And the moment you call yourself an analyst and get something wrong, you might as well, have a job.
You know what I mean? Right? And it's just you gotta be 100 for 100.
I feel like it's unfair to put that on him.
Yeah.
Having said that, his analysis here kind of seems to be spot on. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's a safe assumption that that's where they're going to...
You don't think they're going to hit the 20 either?
I am going back and forth. I almost...
You saw those... We were talking about those Japan Smash numbers yesterday.
And that's my thing is like, I have my... In my gut, I feel like with the Dynamite lineup that they've had in the last couple months... last month. Not last couple months.
Okay.
Pokemon Let's Go with the two versions, with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate just coming out, with a 2D Mario game... coming out in January, and that being the last Switch game that we have a release date for thus far. Yeah. We don't know what's coming in February. We don't know what's coming in March yet. I imagine we'll figure that stuff out in a January direct of some kind. I think it's possible. And also, I think it's likely that it'll happen. Especially when you still have Christmas coming up, you still have this, and they don't have a shortage of supply.
Sure.
So that is the key thing to keep in mind here. And Switch, for the first time ever, is a system seller. You know?
You mean...
Switch is a system Smash.
Oh, okay,
Smash,
okay.
For the first time ever, is a system seller.
Is it? Because that's my one thing. And stick with me. Smash, an amazing game. Mm-hmm. I love my Switch. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that. But I feel like that audience, do you think it's moving that many units? Because haven't so many other people been like, well, I have the Switch. I'm waiting for Smash.
Five of my friends bought a Switch this weekend. Five different friends bought a Switch.
James Burke.
Real story. James Burke, Switch, Smash Brothers.
Colonel.
Yeah, well, Colonel already had one. But the rest of my friend group, they all bought it for Smash. And they were like, oh, there's all this other stuff I want to play. But it was for Smash. They didn't buy a Wii U for Smash. Curren did. But no one else did.
Gotcha.
So it's like, and again, that's a very small microcosm. But like, they are people that are not traditional gamers.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're like, fuck it. Got to get it now. You know, I think there's going to be a lot more of that. And also, there's a lot of people that were like, you know what? I'm going to get a Switch eventually. And then, of course, there's families when they look at it and they're like, oh, there's a Pokemon game and Smash and Mario and... the Zelda switches. Game and Mario Kart, like, and multiple Switches, and I think it could happen.
I do too. I mean, that's what's interesting about this projection and trying to figure it all out is that I could see it happening. Mm-hmm. It's just it's down to the wire, right? We're in this spot where it could happen, it could not, and you could easily see either.
Yeah, and it's a crazy number too. Like for them to sell that many units in a year is like it's insane, especially for in a year that, you know, when you look back at it, Nintendo didn't really come correct for the first 9 months of the year. There were very little titles of consequence from Nintendo themselves.
Okay.
Especially compared to the previous year when we saw Breath of the Wild, we saw Mario Odyssey, you know, we saw Mario Kart and ARMS, and like pretty much every month had a major release. A lot of the things that we thought were going to be 2018 titles like Fire Emblem and Yoshi got pushed into 2019. So I feel like a lot of the mid-tier games weren't even available. So the Switch's success really relied on things like Fortnite and indie titles and, you know, smaller little things here and there.
Don't discredit Octopath.
And things like Octopath.
Yeah.
But like that Octopath was probably the high of the Switch's like
spring or quality. First half year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, then you get into it and it is really Pokemon and Smash. So
sure.
Yeah. It's pretty 50-50. I just feel like that it's going to happen.
Okay.
Because of the sales numbers of looking at Pokemon, because of the sales numbers of looking at Smash.
I can easily see it happening. I don't know. I just don't know, Tim. Mm. If you made me bet, I would bet they would hit it, though.
Do they would?
I think they would.
Really?
Yeah. It just feels like they will. It feels like they have a great lineup. It feels like it's going to be a good holiday. Obviously, people want to buy the Switch.
Yeah.
I think it's proven itself as a console/handheld that other people, you know, I think that maybe a family bought one and now wants to get another one for the other kid or for the dad or whatever, you know what I mean? Or the mom, whatever, you know, yeah. Some way to break it down.
That's the
family.
Thing is like, you know, all signs point to a Switch revision next year. What sure. That looks like,
yeah.
I'm very excited. I don't know. Is it going to be an XL? Is it going to be a mini? Is it going to be both?
Had a call today. We won't name names. I know you know. Had a call today for business stuff and was talking about this, that, and the other. And, we were talking about peripherals and things of this nature. And the people were like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I know you like Switch a lot, but since that's a handheld, I'm like, well, yeah, but it uses controllers and it plugs into a TV, not just a handheld. You know what I mean? But that's how some of these normies out there look at it.
Them normies, dude.
Weird. Mm-hmm. Can't trust them. Number two. GDC is going to honor Amy Hennig, organizers of the 19th annual Game Developers Choice Awards, the premier accolades for peer recognition, celebrating the industry's top games, studios, and developers. Will be honoring esteemed writer and director Amy Hennig with the Lifetime Achievement Award. The Game Developers Choice Awards ceremony takes place on Wednesday, March 20th, 2019 at 6:30 p.m. at the San Francisco Moscone Center during the 2019 Game Developers Conference and in conjunction with the Independent Games Festival. The ceremonies are available to attend for all GDC 2019 pass holders. Over the course of more than three decades, Amy has established a multifaceted career in game development, starting with development on the Atari 7800 up to the modern PlayStation 4 platform. Amy's expertise is as deep as it is varied, with professional experience as a digital artist, animator, game designer, and especially in the last two decades, as a writer and director of acclaimed adventure titles with strong narrative and character elements. Serving as the creative director and writer of Naughty Dog's Uncharted game series, her contributions helped that series become one of the most acclaimed and beloved in modern gaming's era. Before that, Amy served as writer and director for the groundbreaking Soul Reaver / Legacy of Kain series at Crystal Dynamics during her more than 8-year tenure with the company. Amy has earned countless accolades for her writing from prestigious organizations, including the WGA Video Game Writing Awards and BAFTA, the latter of which also rewarded Amy with a special award in recognition for her contribution to the video game industry. Yay! Yeah. Friend of the show, Amy!
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm excited for that. Yeah, Amy deserves it, obviously. I'm interested to see what her next game is. Mm-hmm. Let's get Amy back to work, everybody. You know what I mean? After everything that happened with EA, after everything that happened with Uncharted 4, I'm sure she's the most ready to make a game and ship a game.
I'm
very ready to play another Amy game.
Do you think it'll happen?
What? Her do another game?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes. What do you mean? You think she's done?
I don't know.
You think she's done? You think she's going to hang it up and leave? Under no circumstance, Tim. Under no circumstance. Mm. It's in her blood, sir.
Yeah.
She's Amy Hennig, all right?
I get.
I don't think you do get it, sir. Yeah. I don't think you do get it, sir.
Okay. I understand. I'm just saying it's the politics of everything. I'm just seeing it all. Of just
you think
like,
her name is like, what? You think it's you think the way the EA thing went down? Or why can't I remember the name of that game?
No.
What they call it? Star Wars. Was that all we knew about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
what studio was it? I'm foggy today on cold meds.
Yeah.
It wasn't Respawn, right? What Star Wars? Motive. Thank you. Thank you very much.
My thing is, I feel like, you know, she needs a certain level of team and of power to be able to create a game.
Yeah.
Up to the level that she'd want to make one. And I don't know where that would look right now, unless it was Microsoft.
Uh-huh. Ding, 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 ding. Right? Like, I mean, yes, if you're Microsoft, you have all these different studios. Yes, get her in on a project, right? Mm. Not to mention, though, I could easily see it going the other way, where I think it's a very, it could be like Ken Levine, right? Where it was like, all right, cool. You know, Irrational, as you guys know, it is dead or whatever. And now we're a smaller team and we're going to make games faster and quicker and ship smaller experiences.
Yeah.
I could see Amy doing something like that, sure, in the indie arena.
I guess that's what I'm saying. It's like, will we see her back to what we want and expect from her?
I knew that didn't sound right. Mr. Yasman corrects you. Amy Hennig, Star Wars Studios, Visceral.
You're right.
Motive was Jade Raymond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking dumb shit.
Yeah, we're stupid idiots today. We shouldn't even listen to this show. We're tired and cold medicine.
We have to do a fucking Game Over Grady show after this, too.
Well, that's easy. There, we just say whatever we want. You know what I mean?
I know, but I feel like shit, Greg.
I do, too. What do you want to do? We can look to push it. There's got to be a thing to push it to.
I don't know what that theory is.
You know, it just come down.
There is. We have one tomorrow as well.
I know. It's holiday season. I'm aware. What's happening Friday afternoon? Isn't Friday afternoon clear? Weren't you trying to leave Friday afternoon, Kevin? You're not even here.
I was trying to stream the game showcase again.
See, because it's a free afternoon.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ding, 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 ding. Ring a ding, ding, ting, ring, ding, ding, ting, ring, ding, ding, ting.
What if you're more sick?
Ring, 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 ring. I'm going to feel better. He's going to feel better.
I don't know.
Yeah, you've been sick just nonstop.
It's
it just
been
doesn't change.
A week and a half that he's been sick. Look at him. He's weak.
That is a weak man right there. Corey, I need you to make a GIF of this right now that just has the words, "That is a weak man right there," pop up. You don't have to use my hand if you want to. You're
I
able
mean,
to.
Do it however you want, Corey.
You're the artist. I'm sorry. That's a great point. Nobody comes in and tells me how to host a podcast. I shouldn't tell you how to make the gifts from the podcast. I'm excited for Amy.
Yes.
She will 1,000% make another game. I have no inside information. I do not know what she's working on. She will 1,000% make more games, and I can't wait.
Okay. Me too.
Number three, Epic has yanked Infinity Blade from the App Store. This is
what
from
the fuck?
Matthew Hanrahan over on gamesindustry.biz. Epic Games has pulled the Infinity Blade series from the App Store while teasing fans that the games could reappear, quote, in places you wouldn't expect. In a statement, the publisher said that current owners will be able to continue playing and downloading them through their accounts for the foreseeable future. Epic's official line is that supporting all three games has become increasingly difficult as internal studio Chair Entertainment pushes forward with the development of Spyjinx. What the future holds for Infinity Blade is an interesting question. At the end of the statement, Epic advises the series fans to be sure to keep your eyes peeled. You may find Infinity Blade popping up in places you wouldn't expect, end quote. It is an ambiguous comment, but one that could be linked to the recent launch of Epic's own distribution platform. The Epic Games Store will be the home of Fortnite, of course, but it remains to be seen whether the company has similar plans for its other IPs. What do you that got something out of you. What do you think of that?
I mean, this is crazy. Like this, you know, Infinity Blade was the killer app for mobile games, right?
For, like for the, was, I mean, this is on the Apple stage, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, that, yeah. This was the big gaming moment for when, I think it was the iPod Touch, was making touchscreen iPhones or touchscreen devices mainstream.
Yeah.
Because the iPhone back then was still in its early stages of, you had to be a rich motherfucker to have one of those. It wasn't until a generation or two in, like I would say it was around the iPhone 4 and the iPod Touch, whatever version that was on then, that it was like everyone had access to some form of iOS device or Android.
Yeah.
And when Infinity Blade came out, it was the wow piece. It was the like, oh, look, games can look like console games and
right.
play like a mobile
thing.
Game.
That was the big thing, yeah.
On these devices. And so, yeah. And like also, they all reviewed very well, like all three of them.
Yeah.
What is interesting to me is that in places you wouldn't expect, we expect to see it in the Epic Game Store.
Do you? Right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. There are no mobile games on the Epic Game Store. Epic Game Store isn't tied to my iPhone.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what they'd be pushing for, right? I did download the Epic Game Store yesterday, to get that Hades game.
Oh, yeah?
Supergiant. Yeah. Haven't started it yet, but I have it on my PC. I keep doing that thing where I'm like, getting ready to play. Like, I'm looking at the PC, and I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I see it more like, imagine if somehow it was in Fortnite.
Okay. Now you have my attention.
You know?
That would make sense.
That would fucking work, but.
Well, that would definitely be a place I least expect it. You know what I mean? Where there was, and what was their thing? Or places you wouldn't expect. I would not expect it to be in Fortnite. Joey Noel, Fortnite
Switch.
Expert is coming in. Kevin, is our microphone up?
Yep.
It is in Fortnite. They're adding it as like a weapon that you can pick up, similar to the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right. There was that tease yesterday of the sword.
Yeah.
Infinity Blade. That
so
makes sense.
So if you pick it up, you drop all the rest of your loadout.
Yeah.
And then that's all you have. And then if you die with it, then somebody else can pick it up.
Gotcha. But you mean the games themselves. Like,
Kind of like the Nintendo games that were
Did they announce that officially or tie that out?
Yes, while we've been... I saw it pop up on the sub the competitive subreddit, and I think it's in the winter skirmish thing that they're doing right now.
Gotcha. Interesting. But yeah, it'd be interesting to turn Fortnite itself into the platform for Infinity Blade if you wanted to, right? Because it is on your phone already. It is. You have mobile Fortnite.
Yeah, I don't know what that would look like, and like, I don't know if that's a good idea, but I didn't think Fortnite was a good idea.
I also wonder how much money they're making anymore off Infinity Blade. Are people still picking that game up and buying that game and making a big deal about
that
game? And
doing something like that would be enough of a headline to get people interested so that maybe they can make an Infinity Blade 4 and then people would be interested.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll take it. Number four and final on the Roper Report. This was going to be the lead story. It probably should have been, but I pushed it around. A university in Missouri called the University of Missouri. That's right, aka Mizzou.
Never heard of it.
Aka M-I-Z. Best J school on the planet. ZOU. Thank you very much. Mizzou is getting an esports program. I had the press release in which I'm quoted. That's right. They reached out to me for a press release quote.
About esports.
Yeah, about esports, because I'm a video game expert to them, and that's good enough for me. Instead, I'm just using Sean Morrison's ESPN write-up. The University of Missouri announced Tuesday that it will add a university-sponsored esports program in fall 2019. The Tigers are the first Southeastern Conference school to adopt esports and the second Power 5 institution to do so, with Ohio State announcing its program in October. Mizzou will start its program off with 5,000 square feet of space in Center Hall, a student housing facility, and, quote, an esports scholarship program is also being developed, according to the university. The Tigers also announced that they have joined the National Association of Collegiate Esports, becoming one of more than 100 schools nationwide that are affiliated with the college esports governing body.
This is super freaking cool. It reminds me of when I was in high school hearing that random colleges around California were going to start offering classes about like the history of The Simpsons or like random really specific things that as somebody that was going in for media, I'm like, that's interesting. Like it's that type of information that is actually going to be helpful for the thing I'm doing.
Sure.
And it's like for esports, if people are interested in video games, what this means goes beyond just people playing video games. This is also going to create not jobs, but like learning experiences for people to run production for esports, for people to understand how to commentate on esports, for people like, it's so much more than what it sounds like. And even what it sounds like is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super excited to see it. The press release focused on the one freshman woman they have that's doing it and is doing it's Overwatch. She's playing and stuff like that and how they have an interim head coach and all this jazz. It's super rad to see, what they're going to do with this esports program when they get over there and get everybody playing, doing this. But go Tigers. That's what I say.
Go Tigers, man.
Get me the jersey for the esports team, everybody. Kevin.
Yep.
I can't wait to see what the Tigers esports jersey looks like, but it's going to be a long time before I get there because apparently they have one player. I don't know how esports work. I feel like you need more than that. If I wanted something more pertinent, like say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Hi, Kevin.
What's up, dude?
Out today. Destiny 2 The Dawning is back until January 1st. Gone Home is on iOS. Desert Child is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
Hey.
Dragonfly Chronicles is on PS Vita. That's right, it lives. Earth Defense Force 5 is on PlayStation 4. Everspace Stellar Edition is on Switch. Gungrave VR is on PlayStation VR. Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms is on PlayStation 4. Kingdom 2 Crowns is on Xbox One, PC, and Switch. Prey Typhon Hunter. Not a typo on my part. PSVR. Red Matter, PSVR. Salt and Sanctuary Drowned Tome Edition is on Switch. This is a physical release of the game published by none other than our friend Dan Adelman. Smash Hit Plunder is on PlayStation VR. The Video Kid is on PlayStation 4. Warbot is on PlayStation VR. And for the next 3 weeks, Overwatch is getting into the holiday spirit with the return of a seasonal event, Winter Wonderland. Expand your collection of seasonal items, enjoy two classic winter brawls, and get ready for lots of holiday fun and loot in this limited time event. Meanwhile, Timothy?
Yes.
New dates for you. DJ Riotti Indie Bundle.
Digirati.
Hey, you know what? I said it right the first time. Ink and Hacky Zack is coming to Nintendo Switch on the 24th of December. Sheltered is coming to Nintendo Switch on the 18th of December. And Bacterium is available on Steam December 12th. Hold on here. Well, I'm going to read the ads, all right?
Yes.
While I do that, though, I want you to look at that last one about Epic. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Reader Mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First up, 23andMe. Now through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe Health Plus Ancestry services include 90-plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, you receive your personalized online reports. I did it. I am very, very white. 52.5% British and Irish, 17.2% French and German, and so on from the other European places up there. Maybe New Zealand, all those little islands up in Europe. It's a good gift. We were talking about this yesterday. You saw Gia gave it to her mom and dad. Gia gave it
to mom and dad, yeah.
Yeah, they liked that a lot.
They did.
It's one of those things, every time the commercial comes up and I'm with people, they're always like, that seems like an interesting thing. And mm-hmm. I did it, and it is interesting.
It is cool.
Lots to unpack. Now, through December 25th, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andMe.com/games. Again, that's 23andMe.com/games. Up next, it's Loot Crate. Have you heard of Loot Gaming? It's a monthly subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates and designs everything themselves, and you can't find these items anywhere else, just like my Metal Gear Solid Fox Hound pint glass that I love and had to steal back from Nick.
There it is.
If you're an audio listener, I leaned away from the microphone for Kevin to take a photo of me.
We said it before, we'll say it again. Cool Greg, he loves those pins.
Cool Greg does love the pins. Every time one of the Loot Gaming crates come in, he takes that apart. Kevin loves all the stuff you can get out of it. Kevin's wearing stuff all the time, I see. Yeah, I know from the regular Loot crates, he takes all the Rick and Morty stuff. A lot of the Harry Potter stuff, that goes to Cool Greg. And then Loot Gaming crates, what do you take from there, Kevin? Anything you get your hands on?
Yeah.
All right.
Pins are dope when Cool Greg doesn't want them.
This month's theme? Well, here it is. Earth is secure. It's time to take the fight off world. Take on alien invaders with gear from Halo, Gears of War, Mass Effect, and Galaga. You get a t-shirt in every crate. More than $60 of value in every crate for less than $29 a month. And this crate will sell out, so you must order by the end of the week to guarantee yours. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, Geek Out in Style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter the code GAMES to receive an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. Enter my code GAMES to get 30% off your subscription. And finally, we have MeUndies. Have you finished your holiday shopping yet? No worries. You can get everything you need and more for your loved ones at MeUndies. Tim and I are wearing MeUndies right now because it's the only underwear we ever wear. Mm-hmm. Tim and I wear the MeUndies lounge pants because they're incredibly comfortable.
So soft.
Tim and I also wear the MeUndies onesies. It is the first time I've ever had a onesie. I love it. Last night,
but it's my favorite.
Last night at the bar, Jen was talking about this onesie I put her in. Mm-hmm. She loves that onesie too.
She loves the onesie. I love the socks. I love the shirts.
Everything's soft. Everything's comfortable. It's the most comfortable underwear I've ever had. It's the most comfortable onesie I've ever had. I can't say enough nice things about MeUndies, and that's not even part of the ad. I literally love MeUndies that much.
MeUndies, if you're listening to me, please, please.
Send more.
Make a bomber jacket.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Just complete my outfit.
Can you imagine if you could just dress head to toe in MeUndies fabric? MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Any first-time purchasers can get 15% off and free shipping. Order by December 16th for free shipping in time for Christmas. If you're crunched for time, you can't go wrong with a MeUndies gift card. Give these things as gift. They won't not like it. This is a no-brainer. Get 15% off the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. Was there anything of value in that you're wrong about it?
Because the Epic Games Store press release, this is discarded digit. The store will launch with a hand-curated set of games on PC and Mac. Then it will open up more broadly to other games and to Android and other platforms throughout 2019. And other open platforms throughout 2019. So they're always going to open the store on Android, but iOS will prove to be difficult because it's not open.
Gotcha. So. Thank you very much. That makes sense. Tim, let's start with some Kingdom Hearts 3 scuttlebutt.
Please.
Tris writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, with the impending release of Kingdom Hearts 3, it seems like the marketing by Square is nowhere near what it was for Final Fantasy 15, even though I think this game has the potential to be much bigger. It seems like there may not even be DLC for the game, and there is no movie, anime, car, etc. Why do you think that's the case? Were you guys approached by Square to do another big presentation like you did for Final Fantasy?
we were not approached to do this. And like, I mean, it was many years ago, but the night that we did the Final Fantasy event, they were talking about like, hey, we're thinking about doing this for Kingdom Hearts 3, and we'd love for you guys to do it if you're interested. And I was like,
and we were like, as long as you don't push the release date on Final Fantasy 15, totally. And then Tabata went, I was like, what is that fuckers. Mean? And he turned into smoke and went away.
He did. And now he's back. I think the marketing is just different. It's obvious they're using their budget in different ways. Getting Skrillex to do the theme song, while it seems weird to I feel our audience, that does make a lot of sense to getting it out there in a more mainstream way. I don't think it's going to successfully work, but there's that. But there's a trailer that debuted not on our Amazon stream, but that we show it on our Amazon stream that is actually a theatrical trailer that is playing before movies. I imagine that before Into the Spider-Verse, we might see it. And it's going to be before a lot of stuff. They're doing a lot of promotion at different Disney parks with Kingdom Hearts. I feel like just Final Fantasy and Disney and Kingdom Hearts are just different beasts on how you market them. And I think the marketing is going to step it up a notch once the game is actually closer to being out. So next month, like once we're through the holidays. Why is it all Final Fantasy 15? I think that they just went a little too hard with Final Fantasy 15 from the get-go, where they're just like, hey, we've already invested so much in this. Let's just double or triple down on it, you know? And I feel that instead of getting a movie and anime and this and this and this, we got 10,000 re-releases of the previous games.
Okay, fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting what happens with this Kingdom Hearts game. If it resonates.
It's going to resonate.
Is it going to review well?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the people that would give this a bad review are going to be fucking cowards to give it a bad review if it deserves it.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit.
Okay. I think I followed you.
I feel it from what I played of this game, from what I expected this game.
You described it as a modern day PS2 game.
Yeah. And like, there's pros and cons there, but I still feel like it's going to review in the like 8.5 to 9 range.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe 8 to 9 range.
Let's keep it on the Tim track, as I like to call it.
Choo-choo.
Tybo215 writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I know Super Smash Brothers is the hot topic right now, but I had this thought after all the Smash DLC talk. Do you think with Pokemon Let's Go being on a console with an actual online infrastructure will get bigger and more significant DLC than simply Mystery Gift Pokemon? If this was 5 years ago, I would have said no, but Nintendo seems to be trying to up their game with this console, parentheses, except for Smash Online. Love everything you do and congrats on the amazing showcase, Tybo.
I don't think so. I think that we will see a bit of a step up when it comes to Pokemon Gen 8 next year. The Switch, I feel, was golden and on a perfect track for its first year, really. Every single game came out and you're like, oh shit, like they know what they're doing. The way that they're releasing this game makes sense. Even something like ARMS came out and there was DLC constantly and like just different updates for it and a lot of content there. Splatoon coming out, still getting new stuff. Breath of the Wild, great game, and here's a DLC plan. Even if it wasn't like perfect, it was like
they had a plan.
There was a plan.
There was an announced plan.
And then once we got to Mario Odyssey,
the game
was great, but the online DLC stuff kind of all fell apart.
You got those balloons, man.
We got the balloons.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple interesting choices made, and like we were saying earlier in the show, it's like the content lineup this year was interesting. Mm-hmm. I do feel like it was very obvious what they were doing. They're trying to just get more Switches in the hands of people for the now 2019. They're going to be like, here's the games. 2020, here's the games. Because they know the attach rate is so crazy. And they had the early games of Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe to kind of be like, cool, there's enough there that we can kind of ride on this for a while. If they get that 20 million install base, what's going to happen there, right? Mm-hmm. When they put out these major games, the attach rate's just going to be in fucking insane.
Yeah.
We're going to see like DS, Wii, 3DS type numbers. So I don't know. I don't expect it for Let's Go. I still think Let's Go is just going to be another one of those, hey, we're just
this is good
building
enough.
A foundation. This is good enough. And Gen 8, I think, is going to come into it. And with Smash Online, I'm hopeful that they're going to make enough patches to make it usable.
God, Animal Crossing, dude, next year.
And then Animal Crossing.
Can you believe it? I'll be walking around here playing it. You'll be playing it. You'll be building your little house. Mm-hmm. Do you play Animal Crossing? You can play Animal Crossing.
This is going to be the first one?
You're going to play it, though?
I'm going to give it a shot.
Ooh, I'm very excited for that. And I'm very excited for that. I will trade you my cherries for your peaches, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, dude, I've been waiting for you to say that to me my whole life.
It does, but it's not. I just need that. I'm assuming. Black Caesar writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, is it me or is there a lack of African Americans in the gaming industry's main outlets? I would love to see more perspectives from people of color and not just African Americans. If so, if that's what I, this is, a, where should I look? Also, I think it's if.
I would love to see more perspectives from people of color, not just African Americans. Where should I look?
I just needed some punctuation there. Side note, what's a brother got to do to get on KFGD? Lol, question mark, exclamation. No, you're not. It's not just you. There is a lack of African Americans and people of color in the gaming industry's main outlets. Where should you look? We'll get to in a second. What do you got to do to get on KFGD? I've been very vocal this year, obviously, about like I'm trying to open up KFGD. I try to keep a slot a week for a lesser known creator, somebody who's a part of a niche audience, maybe to come in here and do it. So what you have to do is hit me up with links and stuff and show that you know what's going on and that you are good on camera and podcasts and stuff like that. I'm totally down to talk about having people on here. Yeah. You said, you know, where should people look, right? I have a list here. Most of these people have been on the show before, right? Khalif over at Spawn On Me, Odell Harmon Jr., Belinda Garcia over at Geeks of Color, Blessing Jr., okay, mm-hmm. Beast hasn't been on the show. Austin Walker from Waypoint hasn't been on the mm-hmm. show. We have all these people will be on the show one day,
yeah.
Except maybe Blessing Jr. Yeah. I have a bone to pick with him.
I love him. No, there is a lack of all of that, all the different perspectives, but I feel like for the most part that the industry is aware of it. And I have seen personally steps being taken to remedy that.
Oh, sure.
And even like with a company as big as IGN, like just seeing the way that they've tried to reformat their podcast over the last 2 years and try to make it so it is not just Altano and Scoville on every show.
Sure.
And I love them, obviously. Even for us, it gets complicated because we're limited to how big our team is or how big our team even can be given our current situation.
Oh, but, sure. Yeah, he's talking about major outlets, not even us, right? Like, us is a different thing. I see it all the time of, oh, my God, you know, kind of funny. I'd love to see you hire this person, that person, blah, blah, blah. So many of the people are, I mean, if you look at the majority of our hires, if you look at it, like how we contract Andrea, Gary, and Jared, right? Like, they're getting those contract positions because they're here. Like, yeah. Right? Like, we don't have the budget to really, I mean, Odell is in Texas somewhere, right? Isn't that right? That
sounds right.
Yeah. Does great Pokemon coverage. We can't relocate him here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's the thing. Like, whenever he wants to come through and be on the show, totally. Whenever anybody Blessing, wants to come through.
Right? I'd love Seattle, to have him on the show. Right? He's up in Seattle. Yeah, exactly. Like, that gets hard.
And so that's why, like, when we bring these people in, it's usually, and like, you know, Odell was the guy who was like, he flew himself out just for this appearance, just to be on Kind of Funny Games Daily, just to make it be, I know what I'm fucking talking about. Everyone knows me, and everybody's like, fuck, we know him now. We want to follow him and stuff. For major outlets, right? Like, why is it? There's a, and I don't mean to toot our own horns in this. One, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was a Gamescast with Xavier, WWE mm-hmm. superstar Xavier Woods, aka yep, Austin Creed.
That goes into all this stuff.
Exactly. And the question was for him, it was something has spawned from a similar question about this, where I was just like, talk to me about being a black video game nerd, right? And Austin tells this story about like what it was like to grow up like that and be told he wasn't, that's not what black people do, or this isn't that, or you're not black enough, and like, do you rap, and like all these things that, you know, we would never think about, but like, I think. Societal pressure, right? Cultural pressure to be a certain way. And so we can sit here right now and talk about how, yes, there aren't enough people of color doing this, but I mean, we've just listed a whole bunch of people who are breaking that barrier and who are doing that and who are finding mainstream acceptance and are getting on to panels and podcasts and doing all these different things. I also think if you look at that, and I get to be a dinosaur, you know, it'll be 12 years for me next year in the industry, right? When you dial it all the way back then to when I started at IGN, right? Same, you could lob, obviously, the exact same thing. But the other big part was like, where's all the female representation? Where are all the, we all know that women play games. Why aren't they at IGN, right? And now you look at an IGN 12 years later and the entertainment team and the games team are headed up by two different women.
Yeah.
Right? And like, you've seen that breakthrough. You've seen people like Alana come and break through and break down these walls and do that different things. You're seeing it happen right now. And it sucks that it isn't immediate. It sucks that it isn't a light switch. It sucks that, you know, it's not easy on any front, whether it is for the company to find these people and hire them or whether it is for the people to get out there and do their things. But every day, it's getting better, I mm-hmm. think, personally, and I could be totally wrong. Please write in if you don't agree with me. I like to think that there's that positive momentum. I like to think we're part of it in the best way we can be, right? Like,
yep.
We have a whole bunch of minorities over there. Andy, Joey, Kevin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're there. They're doing there. Stuff. You they're, know what I mean? They're doing stuff. All right, moving on. No, I don't like that question right now, so I'm going to look at this one. Oh yeah, okay. This is an interesting one. We're doing the. I love it when we start doing the inside baseball navel gazing about video game journalism or whatever you want to call this. Braulio. Hi guys, my question is for you is simple. Why are so many of the Kinda Funny Games Showcase news being posted on news outlets without mention of the event? I mainly read Eurogamer, but have seen the same thing happen in Polygon and Kotaku, parentheses, just the judgment announcement. They had a long summary of the showcase. I found it very annoying since you guys make an effort to always give credit to your sources. Braulio, that's just the nature of the game, and what's really happening is, I understand how that it would look like that from your perspective, what's really happening is, Publication X, Reporter X is opening their inbox, and there are press releases
for the games
that we did at the showcase.
They don't mention us.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
And that is to be expected. That is normal. And honestly, that's the point of the showcase.
Yep.
The point of the showcase wasn't to promote Kinda Funny. It was to promote games. And, hey, here are a bunch of indie games you don't know about, a bunch of smaller games you don't know about. Let's do it all at once. Everybody makes an impact. You can't... Everybody's like, man, there's a lot of news happening today. It isn't about putting Kinda Funny on the map or putting the showcase on the map or putting subscribers in the box. That's not what it was ever about.
Yeah.
So, no, it's totally normal. It's totally fine. Don't you worry. You're pretty little head about it.
So pretty.
This is, I mean, I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's stick with it. Let's just keep navel gazing, all right? You with me? Tiziano. Yeah, nailed it. Writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Tim. Once again, congrats on the lovely showcase. Since you two are hosting together, I figured this was a time for an inside baseball question. Why does Kinda Funny give away codes on the morning show and not during Kinda Funny Games Daily? After all, Kinda Funny Games Daily is the show about games, and half the time Nick is reading the game name, he has no idea what it is, let alone what the game is about. Is it because the morning show is such a garbage truck on fire that you have to bribe people with prizes just to get them to watch? Winky emoji. Kinda Funny has had a great year. Looking forward to January 4th. Thanks for everything you do. Stay wonderful, Tizzy.
It all comes down to legacy, and it all just comes down to the fact that Kinda Funny has evolved over the years in so many different ways, and there's so many shows that what they started as are not what they are today. Yeah. And I think the morning show is the biggest victim of that.
Sure.
So giving away games was always just a thing, because back in the day, Games Daily didn't exist. We did game news on the morning show, so it made a lot more sense. And we just kind of, you know, got used to it and never changed it.
Yeah, for me, it was always that was a staple of the morning show of Colin and Greg Live, right? That's something we anchored there. And then when we did Kinda Funny Games Daily, the idea with Kinda Funny Games Daily, which, you know, we've been doing for well over a year now, so it's, I don't think it's radical anymore, but at the time it was, of, cool, we're going to do the show, but it's a polished podcast.
Yeah.
It isn't a Twitch show. It isn't us looking at the chat. It isn't us getting distracted. It isn't us pulling up stories. It is us basically recording on Twitch a podcast live. And so it felt like a weird fit to then toss in games there, because the show is as zany and weird as it can be, one of the more grounded Kind of Funny shows. It is a serious product. It is a prestige product for us to look at and be like, no, this is how we can, you know, yeah, sure, Greg's going to take off his shirt and scream on a party mode, but they can also actually have an intelligent conversation about games most of the time, unless it's about PC gaming, because I don't know how to, oh man, my .exe isn't working.
And Sam, looking forward to January 4th. I am as well. And we've been thinking about a lot of this stuff, so stay tuned.
Canceling everything. No more shows. Nothing. It's just a live feed of Kevin. Yup. Thanks, Kev. Good dynamite drop in. Go to bed. Oh, here we go. Alex writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. And Kev, this is for you and me. Listening to all the Tetris Effect and Beat Saber talk got me jacked to buy a VR unit. During the discussion, Kevin mentioned that he was playing Beat Saber on Oculus, but you, Greg, have just been using the PlayStation VR unit. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on the different platforms and specifically what Kevin recommends, because I love him. What do you recommend, Big Kev Dog?
Now, I haven't tried Beat Saber on the PSVR.
Sure.
I like Oculus because it's so simple to set up.
Sure.
So
PlayStation VR is simple setup.
You need to have the little box. You need to have a USB powering that little box. You need to have a USB connected to your PlayStation.
To the box, you're right.
Yeah.
I'll correct you when you're wrong.
Power cord connected to the box. So there's...
Is Oculus extra. Just one USB into the computer?
It's two USBs and an HDMI.
Okay.
It might be three, but I have them. They're there. So it takes up all the slots, but, you know, it's
sure.
One long cable with four ends at the end.
Okay.
You know?
I guess. I mean, PlayStation. I think PlayStation. I mean, yeah. This is very. This can
also,
easily.
Also, I really like the Oculus
Controllers. I would argue that the PlayStation VR setup is super simple too. I think once you do it once, you're done.
But that's because you don't have a
PlayStation 4 Pro.
No, HDR. You don't got a 4K like HDR TV.
But what would that have to do with anything?
You have to switch it out if you want to have.
Well, no, VR. Not anymore. If he's looking to jump into a headset, the pass through is fixed. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't have that one, so like that's my big issue that I have to.
That's fair. That's
move
fair.
Move around point. HDMI cables, sure. And you need special HDMI cables for stuff for the TV.
Sure.
So that's just my only problem there.
Gotcha.
Also, from my understanding, I haven't needed this, but like if I continue to play,
yeah,
there's a lot of mods that you can do for the PC.
Oh, yeah, for Beat Saber, yeah. I mean, look, we're getting in the weeds here. Yeah. The long and short of it is, if you're looking to jump in and you have the means to buy an Oculus, I would say probably get the Oculus. Like, that's a better VR experience.
I don't know.
I think the controllers are better. I think the tracking's better. And sure. I have played Beat Saber on both. Well, extensively on PlayStation VR. Yeah. I think 2 hours or whatever on Oculus. I think the Oculus tracking is better. The image is sharper. Things. Yeah. PlayStation VR totally works. I play it every morning for a little wake up workout, but like, I don't have a problem with it. I like PlayStation VR because it's the same reason I like consoles in general. And I don't have a PC at home and I don't have you know what I mean? Like, that's why I do it there. I think there's enough exclusives on there too. Like, we like Fireteam, obviously. Like, really we got our Firewall. We got to get back to that.
We really do. And then, there's the Astro Boy on that too.
Astrobot, yeah. Rescue Mission is there too. But then I'm sure there's a million great Oculus VR games I just don't know about too. I believe in the commitment of PlayStation to VR more than I believe in Oculus's commitment to it, really.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. But then again, on Oculus, we have all those Ready at Dawn games we like too. Echo Arena, all that jazz.
Yeah, but like, we've never played outside.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, Firewatch. But it would be that thing, right? If we went there, if I was all in on Oculus, then we would. You and me are the VR boys, boy. You know what I mean?
VR boys.
That's how it works here. Mm-hmm. You and me. And one day they got to port that stuff over to PlayStation VR. Make some more money.
Like,
you know what I mean? Why not, guys? Just make the money, right? Cool, Greg. Make some money. Yeah, thank you, Cool Greg. Tim?
Yes.
It's time to squad up.
It is.
This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody has fun playing games together. Today, nerddom on Twitter, but with a 3. So N3RDOM needs help. What's up? This may be a somewhat unique squad up. While I am more than happy to play games with all of you on any platform, hit me up, nerddom on Twitter. I'm really interested in talking to anyone and everyone involved in the gaming industry. Media members, developers, producers, directors, and especially business development / marketing members, etc. I'd love to squad up to learn about how you got started in your careers, what you like and dislike about working in the industry, and anything in general I can get from you awesome people. If you want to talk about the gaming industry and you're a part of it, hit up Nerddom on Twitter. You put that one in there.
Nerddom with a 3.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. You've been perusing You're Wrong. What stands out to you?
Not much. Zaire says Minecraft Cats and Pandas update is out today.
Panda Musk.
And Kabobs writes in saying Insomniac has an entire line of VR titles just to the Rift, including Edge of Nowhere, The Unspoken, Feral Rights, and the to-be-released Stormlands. I'd be interested to see what Kevin's thoughts are on those at some point.
Great point. And that's the thing about it, I guess, is I love VR. Full stop.
So good.
I love PlayStation VR because it's what I have and it's what. And I guess this is just a. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I need you to ground me if I'm wrong here. Obviously, I'm anchored in the PlayStation ecosystem, consoles. Yeah. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like Insomniac has all those games. Awesome. I never hear anyone fucking talk about those games. I feel like you hear about Astro Bot.
You're just in that ecosystem.
Yeah.
And I feel the PlayStation VR thing is, it is literally just the console gaming, like, whiny boys that are just like, oh, I don't want to. It's the bad side about us, where it's just like, I refuse to, if it's not on consoles, it doesn't exist. Whereas, like, there's so many people, like, the VR people are not playing on PlayStation VR. They're playing on these other things.
Sure.
The VR websites are talking about everything else. The PlayStation side is the, oh man, they got Tetris Effect. Sucks that we don't have it.
Sure. Good point.
You know
who I would recommend? Everybody, remember David Jaganu, right? From Upload VR. Mm-hmm. Give him a follow. David does great work on everything VR related. And check out Upload VR. They'd have more of a PC, I think. Again, from just technical specs, if you have, to the question that is back here, from Alex. Mm-hmm. I would still say, even as a PlayStation VR fan, that if you have the means, I would just get Oculus, because I think it's going to give you the best experience. For you've already invested in the computer that can run it and be amazing and all this different stuff. But yeah.
Having said that, PlayStation VR, like this year, I feel has added so many exclusives, at least so far.
Blood and Truth is still coming too. Hoo-wee.
Even just Astro Boy and Tetris Effect. It's like those are two of the most talked about VR games ever. Mm. And I don't think that's just because they're console games. I think that's because they're legitimately great games.
Yeah.
So.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Tomorrow, it's Widow Wednesday. Gary Widow returns to tell you he doesn't care about whatever the hell he doesn't care about, which is pretty much everything. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.